This morning's public read comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. So if you have a Bible and you want to join along with the reading and the few comments, please join us. Luke chapter 19, and beginning with verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, into which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto them, Because the Lord had need of him. And they that were sent went their way, found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosening the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord had need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereupon. And as he went, they spread their cloths in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. He answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. So everyone knows this story, maybe from Sunday school, or maybe during, if your congregation celebrates what's called Holy Week on the calendar, and you have Palm Sunday, and then you have the traditional understanding of Good Friday, and then the resurrection of Christ, the tomb being found empty, you know all of that historical background. So this is Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. Now, when you read the book of Zechariah, there is a prophecy that says, Behold, your king cometh unto thee, riding on a colt, the fold of an ass. I believe that's found in Zechariah chapter 9. So there was a prophecy given probably some 3 to 4 centuries before the birth of Jesus. And one of these prophecies was that the Messiah, the one whom the entire Old Testament scriptures were talking about, starting with the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15, and going all the way through the end of the book of Malachi, this individual, this person called the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ of God, this individual would come into Jerusalem on a specific day at a specific time, riding on a colt, the fold of an ass. And beloved, that's what happened. Unfortunately, just like today, you can give all this evidence, you can show all the prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, then you can take them to the fulfillment of that prophecy, clearly delineated in the New Testament scriptures, and people can look with the print on the page, and they can see prophecy given and the fulfillment realized. They can put those side by side and still not make the connection. For instance, let's go back to verses 37 and following. When Jesus is coming into the city goes berserk. There is this huge crescendo of praise and adoration, joy and rejoicing, exuberance. Here's the king. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So the disciples are simply going in an uproar over the mighty works that they had seen Jesus do during the course of his public ministry, saying, "Blessed be the King." Notice, "Blessed be the King." Well, Zechariah 9 says, "Behold, your King cometh unto thee. Cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So notice, prophecy given, Zechariah 9, prophecy fulfilled, Luke chapter 19 here, as this narrative is unfolding, the event of Jesus coming in. And then notice verse 39. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude told Jesus to shut the mouths of his disciples, who were in great praise and rejoicing. Again, here's an example. Beloved, the Pharisees were the ones who tenaciously guarded the scriptures, thumbed their way through the Old Testament scriptures, ate the scriptures, expounded the scriptures, fought for the scriptures, defended the scriptures in their own understanding. And yet when something was now being fulfilled, beloved, listen to me, this was being fulfilled right on the very spot and moment in time. When Jesus was coming into the city on the donkey with the fold of an ass, and the angels in heaven, if there was a long list of prophecies made and those fulfilled, the angels were waiting to simply check off that block. This occurred, beloved, in their very eyes and ears. We're not talking about something for us in the 21st century, we look back at this event and we know that it was fulfilled. But to see something unfold and become fulfilled in your very eyes while you are alive and pumping blood, that same convergence, prophecy made, prophecy fulfilled, converged on this one day, on that one spot. And some of the Pharisees said, "Rebuke your disciples. Tell them to shut the music, shut the praise, shut the rejoicing." What do you find today? Beloved, you find many people today, many people who are well educated. You can sit down with an open Bible and you can show them the prophecy was made here, book, chapter, verse. Then you can take them to the New Testament, book, chapter, and verse, and show them what was said here became a reality here. And beloved, they was as blind as a bat. But then notice Jesus' words in verse 40. "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the very stones around us on the ground would rise up and speak." Hold your place here. I believe Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew. The same words were used by John the Baptist, I believe, about the stones. Let me check Luke. I should have jotted that down. Oh my. I know it, I just, off the top of my head, trying to find you where that was said. It was just ideal.
3:9?
3:9, what?
I don't know if that's what you wrote.
Matthew 3:9? Let's take a gander. Yes, yes. Look at Matthew chapter 3, thank you. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 7. Now again, remember, who was telling Jesus to tell the disciples to shut up? The Pharisees. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet or associated with your repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So notice John the Baptist uses the same imagery that Jesus himself uses here in Luke chapter 19. I find that amazing that John the Baptist and Jesus on the same sheet of music, if you will. If you tell me to shut up, well, the very rocks themselves will come forth and to sing. So, but let's go back to verse 29. Came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and to Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And when you read verses 30, 31, 32, 33, and then 34, it's quite evident that Jesus had already made prior arrangements. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to fulfill in front of everyone's eyes. He told them where to go. And you're going to find a colt, donkey, tied up. And I want you to loose him and bring him to me, that I might ride upon him. And by the way, if the people who own the animals comes out in questions, maybe they think you're stealing, you just simply tell them the Lord had need. That was the password that Jesus gave the owners of these animals. The Lord has need of them. And they simply backed off. And they knew exactly because Jesus had apparently conversed with them earlier. And then in verses 34, 35, you have this beautiful procession. They brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the coat. They put Jesus upon that. And as he was entering the city, beloved, total mayhem, joyful mayhem. The king has arrived. Now let me add a little bit postscript to this. By the time Jesus comes on the scene, the understanding of the Jews in regards to the Davidic kingdom being set up, in their mind, they drew up a geopolitical kingdom. You have the Roman Empire at that time, that great Roman kingdom pumping alive and well. Romans were in Judea since 63 BC. And the Jews despised and hated the Romans, even walking upon their territory. In the Jewish mind, in their psyche, by the 400 years of silence that transpired from the closing of the Old Testament text to the heralding of John the Baptist, by the time John the Baptist and Jesus come on the scene, long before that time, in their mind, the Jews were longing for the reestablishment of the Davidic kingdom. A real live king of the seed of David on the throne in a real live city devoid of Gentiles. A Jewish state run by a king who was of the line and lineage of David, this Messiah, this messianic figure, he would come on a white stallion and rid the land of the Romans and reestablish the Davidic kingdom, build another temple, and let's go back under the Old Testament system that was taken away from us by the Babylonians. So when Jesus comes to town, for many, he did not fit the cardboard cutout of the king they were wanting or looking for. Because the same crowd that's in great jubilation here is going to be the same crowd that says, away with him, away with him, crucify him. The same people. Now the disciples scattered for their own skin. And beloved, we can't be too harsh because none of you and I would not have known what we would have done that night. Okay? Let's be fair. But beloved, the Jewish people were looking for something tangible, physical, earthly. Jesus did tell the people. He told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, it's not of this age. is not of this time. It's not political and it's not geographical. It reigns universally in the hearts of all of my people who are related to me by second birth. Well, may the Lord truly bless his word.